host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for DizDad's podcast number 468 for Sunday, January 22nd, 2017, are James Cameron.
Hello, everyone.
Tim Hicks.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And welcoming a newcomer to the panel, Chris Papcheck.
Hello, everyone.
Applause, applause.
So tonight, we're going to be talking strange but true tales of Disney vacations. Before we get to that strange discussion, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mousemaster Travel Group. The Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. All right. So this topic was a suggestion that we got when we, you know, were getting ready for the next round of topics. And it was one of those that just kind of got thrown out there and got a little bit of interest here and there. And we thought, okay, well, we'll give it a shot. We'll run with it. So strange but true tales of Disney vacations. The idea here is that, you know, chances are those of us who've been to either the same Disney destination several times or, you know, tried out a few different Disney destinations, after a while, you start to kind of watch what's happening around you a little bit more, right? Right, Tim?
You can say that, yeah.
And I think you kind of start to notice things that maybe would go unnoticed by guests who were, you know, there for the first time. And I think when you're there the first time, maybe you focus a little bit more on your own situation, your own family, you know, what's happening with you. And once those elements become a little bit more routine, you start to watch some other stuff. And so the thinking was, okay, so what kinds of strange things have we encountered? What unusual stuff have we stumbled across during a Disney vacation? We'll find out what kind of strange stuff people have stumbled across. I think I'm going to let James get us started because, you know, he was willing to come on the show, but mentioned to me earlier, he was struggling a bit with this topic. So what did you come up with, James?
Yeah, just, you know, I can think of a lot of things, you know, that were strange that happened to me. But as far as like other people and making those observations, I mean, you overhear a lot of strange stuff.
All right. Well, we can go with some of the overheard stuff too.
You know, and there was one time where I'm like, you know, where I thought I was overhearing so many funny things, I actually like was jotting them down in a book, thinking like, oh, I need to like remember these things. So there's just funny things that people are saying. And like a lot of them were just people who just, you know, who seem to have no clue where they are or what, you know, that they're in Disney. Like, you know, they think maybe they're at Universal Studios, but they're at okay. Hollywood Studios. You know, so they're looking for the wrong attractions. Or some just funny, like, you know, like we had this one of the memory we have. We were on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, and there's this woman was just randomly seated with us, and she was a barrel of laughs, and she just kept talking about like and laughing the whole way. And then at one point, she looks at us, and she's like, I have to keep laughing because if I don't, I'm gonna start crying because of all the money I paid.
All right, so I think that one qualifies as strange, and you were there to verify it as true. You know, somebody who basically went out of her way to crack herself up in order to avoid thinking about what she paid to go on her vacation.
Exactly. She's like, you know, she just kept saying, you got to smile, you got to laugh. Otherwise, you're just going to cry.
All right. So Chris, you know, you mentioned that you had a tale to tell. You know, I was looking for one more panelist and you said, okay, I've got one I can tell you about. So let's hear it.
It was my very first time to Disneyland, and so we're about 2010, and it was our very first time with my now wife and her son, and we went for Christmas. Did not realize that was probably one of the busiest times of the year, and we find ourselves unprepared.
Rookie mistake.
and it turned out to be a pretty good vacation for going in it and just winging it.
Sure.
We ended up finding on Christmas Day that the park did get to capacity, but we didn't find it to be overwhelming. And we ended up park hopping between Disneyland and California Adventure in the middle of the day. We did pick up fast passes for Haunted Mansion, which wasn't until probably 10 o'clock at night. So we spent most of the afternoon in California Adventure and then made a plan to make our way back. Around 8 o'clock, we had gotten off the Monsters, Inc. ride in California Adventure, and it started raining. And we made our way over to Disneyland. And as we're making our way through Frontierland and getting into New Orleans Square, we see a mass load of the crowd making their way out of the crowd, if they're out of the park. It felt like that scene in Independence Day when everyone's leaving DC and you could see him. There's only one car going in, and this was us.
Right, right.
We didn't realize
three salmon swimming upstream.
Exactly. We didn't realize what was going on. We did notice it was dark, or darker than normal, and it had turned out that that entire side of the park had lost power. Oops. And here we get to the gates of the Haunted Mansion with our fast passes, all excited to ride the ride, and we get there, and that's when we realize, oh, no power. And all the cast members with flashlights guiding everyone out, trying to get in an orderly fashion while raining, of course.
Right, right, of course. Because it wouldn't have been any fun if it wasn't raining, too.
Oh, no, and that's what added to it. And, of course, it was Christmas night, so, you know, add all of that onto it and our first time. So that was it. It definitely was an interesting experience. It definitely didn't hinder us from returning, of course, but definitely a story to tell later on.
Right, right. I think that does also qualify as strange but true, and it had to feel even more strange with it being, you know, your first trip, so you had no context.
No, and we really didn't. So it definitely added a little different kind of magic. Especially when we sat there under an awning and anticipated for the power to come on, and any time it would flash, everyone would cheer, and then it would go back out. So we just sat there for about an hour, and we waited for the train to come around. It finally did, and we took it around, and I believe we went through, and you could see the prehistoric, all the dinosaurs, all the power was out of that. So it was just all dark. It was just a dark tunnel. So definitely an interesting night to end Christmas.
It does sound like that. Okay. So Tim, you've heard, James's TTA story. You've heard about New Orleans Square at Disneyland. Where does your strange but true story come from?
Oh my gosh, I've got so many of them, but I can tell you right now that Chris's story is one reason why I won't do Disney anywhere at Christmas time. Anyway, well, you know, I'm gonna kind of bundle this one up as something that didn't happen to me, but I think a lot of people know this little legend, and this is the whole Haunted Mansion thing. You know, the ghost host always says, you know, we have 999 happy haunts, but there's always room for one more. And you've heard the legend that that people have actually gone and scattered the ashes of their loved ones in there. And I thought, who would really do that? But one of the last times I was there, I actually asked a cast member, and they said, yeah, it happens on a fairly regular basis, and we have to shut down the ride and get everybody out and do a hazmat cleaning and all this before we can even, you know, start the ride back up. So that's one of those that, really? You're just going, really? Does that really happen? Yeah, it really does. But beyond that, they even have cast members whose job it is to make sure that there's plenty of dust and cobwebs in the Haunted Mansion, which I found maybe not strange but true, but definitely interesting. So, yeah, that's just a couple of things that I know about the Haunted Mansion that I thought really fascinating. But like I said, I've got some of my own personal stories to share, too. I'm just saving them.
All right. Well, that's a good one to get us started, you know, playing off of Chris waiting in line for Haunted Mansion. The one that to me, you know, maybe fits most as strange but true is that whole idea that, you know, usually you think about the fact that cast members have this, you know, responsibility for making sure everything's completely clean, except at Haunted Mansion, where their job is to make sure there's sufficient dust and cobweb.
Mm-hmm. You don't think about that, you know, that would be the case. You know, it would just happen naturally, but no, they actually spread the dust and spread the cobwebs.
Right. I guess it makes sense. Yeah, you kind of would have to. Right, just to counteract the fact that they have a cleaning protocol that they follow, and somehow you got to go back and undo it after the fact.
Well, you wonder how much has to be done, you know, after they do have to have a hazmat cleanup.
Oh, sure.
You know, okay, so you send in the dirt crew, right? All right, guys, let's make it dirty.
Yes, yes. All right, well, you know, Those are great stories to get us rolling here with this idea. James, anything new come to mind since you know, Tim and Chris have got us thinking?
Well, one of the other things that came to mind when I was thinking about this topic was how acclimated animals are to people,
right,
at Disney. And I know, like, you know, tragically so in one instance, but When I was a cast member on the college program, Fantasyland was notorious for having a bird problem, specifically gulls who would, like, basically attack people, you know, by just diving out of the sky and taking all their food.
Right, right.
And I, like, saw countless people lose their cups of French fries to birds that would just dive bomb. And they've actually done some things about that, and it hasn't been a problem in recent years. But I was reminded of that on my solo trip last year, as I was enjoying a pretzel dog at the baseball complex at the Wide World of Sports, and I just happened to see, like, what I think was a crow fly by my face carrying someone's hot dog. And then I turned to my left where the crow came from, and a little boy was crying because it just took the hot dog right out of the kid's bun. Oh. He was just holding it in his hand, and it just must have just snatched it and went flying right by me. And it was just like, I was like, wow, it wasn't a huge bird, and that was a pretty big hot dog.
Right. That's pretty impressive, actually. That's some heavy lifting.
Yeah, and so those animals have some cojones on them.
Heavy lifting and precise dive bombing too.
Yeah, no, they're right. Deadly accurate sometimes.
Well, yeah, because I mean, even if it's just a little unbalanced, right? It's going to grab the thing and, you know, nosedive.
Yeah, so it was an impressive feat for it to still be airborne for a while after, you know, with that hot dog, which might have outweighed the bird itself.
Yeah, see, I've never seen a bird, you know, attack a hot dog like that. I have seen, you know, moments over by the fish and chips area over in the UK pavilion, where, you know, if the usual, you know, bird scattering protocols or whatever that they've been using to help cut down on it maybe get lax a little bit or get overwhelmed, you know, sometimes it looks like a scene out of the Birds. I just feel like, you know, Tippi Hedren must be there getting fish and chips because it's like they swarm.
It's kind of starting to get that way at Yak and Yeti in Animal Kingdom too.
Oh, really? See, I haven't seen it happen over there at the local foods quick service next door.
Yes, yes. It's not like swarms like you're talking about at the fish and chips place, but the birds have definitely discovered that area for sure.
All right. So strange but true encounters with avian predators. So Chris, do you have any other strange but true stories to share with us?
I was going to add to that. Actually, over in California Adventure, the Pacific Wharf, we have the same problem. We've had plenty of encounters, the kids' foods when they're not paying attention, have been snatched by very hungry birds.
Yeah, see, I would think that maybe some of those, you know, Disneyland is renowned for having a sort of almost cultivated feral cat population.
And we see them all the time.
Yeah, I would think that they would help maybe, you know, keep some of the more aggressive stuff down. I mean, I know they help with rodent control, but maybe the bird's ability to fly just, you know, keeps them out of range.
Yeah, especially in the Pacific Wharf area around there in the back of the park. They definitely kind of, those birds will fly in and take over the place.
Interesting. Okay, so James, you have another story to regale us with?
All right, switching from animals to people. You know, people watching is great at Disney World, but sometimes you don't see the people coming and you know, at first. This one time we were waiting for the parade, sitting on the curb on Main Street, and we just heard this crash, like a sound you just wouldn't expect to hear in Disney World at all. And we turned to see that someone on an ECV had actually crashed into one of the garbage cans and knocked it completely over and into the street. I mean, wow. So you had to hit it with some force to get it to.
Kidding. You had to be moving.
My wife was like, don't tell that story because you're making fun of people, you know, who might be disabled. But it was just something you don't see. It's like plenty of people get hit in the ankles or, you hear about like them bumping into things. But this person like nailed a garbage can and knocked it clear off its feet and into the street.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it as making fun of anybody. Look, I can respect the fact that there are people with the physical need to be in a, use an ECV, but... Come on, folks, you got to control them if you're going to be in charge of them. And I think it is the sort of shock of, you know, a high-speed collision with a trash can that kind of catches you.
Oh, my God. I've got let me butt in right here because...
Please do.
I've got family members and friends that are in the DizDads group that are going to know exactly what I'm talking about here. We went on a big trip a couple of years ago, and my mother and father-in-law went along, and they were both driving ECVs. And I swear to God, I sure hope they got the insurance on those guys, because every time you turn around, they were running over someone's foot or running into a fence post. I think one of them even broke the basket off the front of the ECV. I was so embarrassed. Man. Terrible drivers. Like, what? It's not that hard, people. It's not that hard.
Well, you know, that does remind me, one of the stranger things that I have ever seen at Walt Disney World, actually, you know, hanging out with a bunch of DizDads folks, at not the most recent DizDads Club convention, but a year ago, DDCC4, bunch of us near the end of the pub crawl around Echo or the Crescent Lake area. We're at Kimono's doing karaoke late into the evening.
I know where you're going.
You know, we were having fun with it. I mean, Tim actually has some talent, so he took the mic a couple of times and he was singing, and the other people were cajoled into singing. Somehow I ended up on stage. That's strange in and of itself. Even stranger is that people heard it and survived. But I think it was before I actually got up there. Tim's wife also is quite a talented singer, and she was, you know, up on stage and she was singing, and I was taking some video because we were going to cut together some video that we could put up on the blog. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great video. She's singing and you know, she looks nice and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the screen of the you know, phone that I'm using to shoot the video, and she's no longer in the frame. But she's still singing. Where has she gone? Angie has fallen off the stage.
But she didn't stop singing.
Didn't miss a beat, didn't miss a line. It was amazing.
Consummate professional.
Angie, we love you to death. And so glad that you know, you weren't injured in any way. But my God, that was certainly a strange sight. It's true. There was video proof, but it was hilarious. And also, it was kind of inspiring almost, you know, in some ways, just because it was like she just was, you know, so what? Big deal. Not going to let that get in my way. I'm having fun singing.
So, that would be her.
Yep. And certainly, you know, strange but true along those same lines. So, Chris, you have another West Coast strange but true for us?
It could be strange. It's definitely a gaffe on my part. I don't know how prepared you guys go when you make your vacations, but tickets are usually important, right, to get into the park?
Generally speaking,
we made our way, got up early. We were excited. I think we were trying to make rope drop. We get all the way to the park. I assumed my wife had the tickets. she thought I had the tickets. Oops. We get all the way to the gate. We walked from the hotel. And as we are getting ready to get up to the turnstile, none of us have the tickets. It was a 20-minute walk all the way back to the hotel. I ended up finding myself getting a good run in. So that should have been an excuse for me to continue to start up Run Disney after that. I think I ran my 5K before the park, before we got in the park that morning. So getting back to the hotel, running back, it definitely didn't take me 20 minutes. That was probably the fastest I'd ran to start the day. And then get to walk for another 12 hours. So that was definitely, that was all on me though. That was a goof on my part.
Well, it's the kind of thing that you can certainly look back and laugh at now.
Yeah. Well, and you learn from your mistakes, right? You make sure you have the tickets from every point on now.
Bet you weren't laughing at the time.
That's what I'm implying.
No, I was sweating and looking for breakfast after that because, you get a good run in the morning, you need something. So a coffee or something. It's definitely a great way to start the day.
All right. So James, you have another story for us?
Well, now I'm in danger of like just repeating myself from previous trip reports if I start regaling you with stories of you know, pieces of bison stuck in my esophagus and having to go to the emergency room after. But of course, after not saying anything to anybody and walking, you know, trying to do something, you know, just trying to swallow it on my own that night, and then going to the park the next day and walking around Hollywood Studios the entire day without being able to drink anything. Because I can't get anything down my esophagus. I can breathe fine. I just can't swallow. Right. And it was miserable. And it's like, you know, and then ended up going to the emergency room that night after getting everybody back at the hotel, spending the night, you know, and then getting out the next morning after they did a little procedure just to go in and push it down. So, yeah, that was, you know, I guess it definitely falls under strange, just, you know, You probably see plenty of people, you know, who choke on things and, you know, have a little trouble. But to have something stuck for, you know, more than 24 hours is just the strangest thing I've probably experienced at a Disney park.
Well, and like, to me, it was always, you know, the element that made it so strange was that aside from the fact that you were, you know, in significant discomfort, you just kept going. Until, you know, basically as long as you could. I mean, you enjoyed another 2 days of the park?
That was a dinner at Sanaa, that where it happened. So it was that evening, went back to the hotel and didn't really sleep because I couldn't. If I had slept, that might have relaxed me enough where maybe I would have been able to swallow it, but I couldn't sleep. I just kept trying all night to use water or something to kind of force the issue.
Right.
And then that whole next day, we had, you know, plans to go to Hollywood Studios, you know, breakfast, the Disney Junior planned on breakfast for the kids. Like, I couldn't disappoint them. So I was like, you know what, we'll just go. And like, I'm thinking to myself, at some point during the day, it's just going to happen. It's just going to dissolve enough, or,
right,
and I'll get it down. Yeah, I kept trying every so often.
Even a splinter works its way out, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to, at some point, it'll just wiggle its way for a little further down, and I'll be able to push it down with some water or something, and it just never happened. And finally, I had to give up, and it's just like, you know, we went back to, I believe we were staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I went back and, you know, put the kids in bed and just looked at my wife and was like, I'm going to the hospital.
Yep. Yeah. So let's see, I believe it's Tim's turn here. Tim, you have anything to follow up after James decided to spend a couple of days swallowing his dinner from Sanaa?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking I should be on the Cameron diet plan is what I should be on. Oh my gosh, where shall I start? Okay, I'll start with one that happened in May. As you know, my wife Angie uses a wheelchair for long distances, and we were there in May when we were meeting up with Paul Lawson and his family. You know, just kind of hanging out with them a little bit. And so the one day we decided to go to Hollywood Studios. Of course, we wanted to ride Rock and Roller Coaster. That's our favorite roller coaster. So we did that, and. You know, I'm trying to make sure that Angie gets, you know, into the car safely and gets, you know, all the safety stuff, all the stuff done that needs to be done for her. And so we did that. We rode the ride, got off, had to help her out. Well, you know, we were in the special car because, you know, it's a particular train that has a door that opens. You know, to the side,
right. that will slide in basically.
Right. And the person after us that needed that seat was actually had both of his legs gone. He was you know, ex-military, and you know, had both of his legs blown off. So, you know, he was actually very, very strong. You know, upper body strength was fantastic. And he gets in there, and they take off, and we start to leave, and then Angie realizes that her phone is nowhere on her person. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, that, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster, it's going this way, it's going that way, it corkscrews, it goes upside down, you know, that's probably going to be toast. But, you know, I was like, okay, you just hang out in the gift shop, and I'll go check it out. And, you know, so I went back on the red carpet and told the, you know, the ride operator what was going on. He said, well, you know, that was, you know, we have four different trains operating today, and, you know, it's a long shot, but we'll see when that particular train gets back. And so the train gets back. Sure enough, the ex-military guy hops out and gets into his wheelchair. There's your phone. He's been sitting on it the whole time. So it was kept safe. It didn't fall out. She got her phone back. And I'm just going, yeah, that never happens.
No, it doesn't. Yes, that is, that I think qualifies as strange but true.
Yep.
Amazing that she got it back. So that actually kind of, you know, jostled my mind a little bit, talking about, you know, riding with other guests in strange but true situations. And I will never forget this one. This was just the last Walt Disney World trip that we took, you know, with my family. I think it was that last trip back in I guess almost a year ago now, back in February. And we were in line to ride Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. And the line seemed to be moving sort of unusually slowly. But, you know, lines hadn't been bad really the whole trip. So we didn't really think much of it. We did notice it and commented on it a little bit. And then we kind of noticed that it was moving slowly because there was this, you know, party, like the next, not the people right in front of us, but the next group in front of us that just seemed to take them a little bit longer to get moving on down the line. And again, not a big deal, but enough of a deal that we noticed it. Well, get around the last curve and, you know, they kind of hung back even a little more. They'd been slow moving. They're hanging back even a little more. They kind of let the next group go in front of them, and they're apologizing to us that it's taking them long. They're slow. And we get the reason why it's slow. As the woman who's being helped out of her wheelchair, because she can transfer to get into the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin vehicle, was celebrating her 103rd birthday that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And going to Disney and riding the rides, good on her.
Exactly, exactly. And I, you know, from that moment swore, I'm never complaining the line's moving slow ever again. Because it can move as slow as it needs to. I'm telling you, 103 years old, you know, transferred out of her wheelchair, clearly was in the wheelchair similarly, you know, only for the long distances between attractions and things, because boy, got right across into that vehicle. And I can't tell you for sure, but I'm pretty sure she beat my score. So.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. Happy birthday to her. Well, awesome. And I'm really bad at Space Ranger spin. But, you know, I think that qualifies as strange but true. It's not very often that you run into, you know, people who are 103 years old, just kind of, you know, walking around in general, let alone hopping on attractions in a theme park.
Like I said, good on her. I hope I'm doing that when I'm 103, exactly. Assuming I make it that long.
Exactly. How about you, Chris? You got another one for us?
Yeah, I was thinking, has anyone ever wanted to get stuck on a ride and be able to get kind of a free backstage tour of a favorite attraction?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All the time.
So as it turns out, we were having this conversation as we were walking up to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And we go in and we ride the ride, come out. And sure enough, as we're coming out, we see one of the trains get stuck on the hill. And sure enough, that was probably only maybe four train cars behind us. And they got stuck and had to get taken out and off the ride.
Right.
And I was like, go figure, right before, right after us. That's the one thing I'd wanted to try to experience, because you know, that doesn't happen too often.
Right. Well, and you know, that's kind of the nightmare scenario, right? Because it's cool to get to see the backstage piece, but if I'm going to get stuck, I really don't want to get stuck like at the peak of Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, and that's about where it was. So,
yeah. As a matter of fact, I have some fear of heights. That for me, that's become part of the thrill of amusement park rides, right? Or of theme park rides, is that I can enjoy the heights that I'm normally afraid of. But I have a feeling that if I got stuck like at the top of the climb on Everest,
I've seen that happen.
My vacation would be done.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Especially if you're in the front seat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen. All right. Well, as long as we're talking about ride breakdowns, I think I do have to throw this over to Tim now, because, you know, you've heard of people who have, you know, a green thumb, anything they touch can grow. When it comes to attractions, at least on this particular trip, you know, Tim was essentially a human EMP.
It's true. This was our big family trip a couple of years ago. And like James said, I run the risk of repeating, you know, previous podcasts, but this story has to be told because I've figured out more things about it that make it a strange but true. So here we go. We decided we're going to go on Spaceship Earth. Nice, slow moving dark ride. You know, my in-laws, like I said, the mother-in-law and father-in-law that do not know how to drive an ECB, they're with me here on this one. So here's the deal. I'm the only able-bodied person. My wife has MS. Her left side is kind of messed up. So, you know, it's hard for her to walk sometimes. My mother-in-law is on oxygen. My father-in-law has Parkinson's. So we're all in the same car going up on Spaceship Earth. Well, right as we reach the pinnacle, and I mean the pinnacle, right at that moment where your car turns to the right and you're looking back at Earth, you know, kind of in the planetarium setting right at the top of the ride, that's when it decides it's going to break down.
Oh, man.
So we're sitting there and I'm listening to my father-in-law go, well, could they at least stop that constant announcement and, you know, just complaining about this? My mother-in-law is running out of oxygen. The car next to us, nobody speaks English in that car, so they're trying to figure out what's going on. They can't understand the cast member when he comes up and tries to explain what happens. So of all things, you know, they look at us and my wife having had to deal with, you know, a special needs kid and, you know, break things down and speak really slowly, was able to actually communicate to these people who speak no English exactly what was going on, and that, you know, they were going to evacuate us off of this ride. Okay, so here comes the evacuation team. You know, they get everybody off and they leave us to the dead last. There's only us left. And you know, you guys are going to have to take the stairs. Okay, 3 out of 4 of us can't take stairs like that. So they said, okay, we need a stair chair. They bring up one stair chair. How many of us need stair chairs? 3. So an hour and a half after the ride breaks down is when the cast member in charge says, I've got this. You know, you guys get lost. And when they had all gotten lost, he takes us through them, you know, through that whole facade right there to where there's an elevator. And he's like, can you take 3 steps down? Like, yes, they can. Everybody can take 3 steps down. So he gets us to the freight elevator that nobody is supposed to ever know about or go on or anything like that, and takes us down to the bottom. Okay, great. It wasn't the next thing we did, because we had to deal with, a brother that was having problems getting in. But pretty much the next ride that we went on was Living with the Land. Nice. Again, another, it's a boat ride, slow moving, very nice, very easy to do. And we get on that thing and we start riding it around, and we go through all the scenes and go through the greenhouse. And then as you get out of that greenhouse, you might know, there is a mosaic of photos, and one of those is a picture of Earth. And guess what happens? The ride breaks down while we're sitting there looking at Earth. So,
it's the Earth curse.
Yes, it's the Earth curse. That's the strange but true part about it, is both of the rides broke down while we were sitting there looking at planet Earth. Please don't let anything else have a planet Earth on it. We're going to break that too. Better yet, skip this. Let's go to Mexico and have a margarita.
Or 3.
Or 7.
Yeah, you know, you were playing with fire there, because if I remember correctly, the giant rotating globe from Illuminations parks not far from Mexico.
Ooh, that's right. Right past that bridge.
Yeah, oh, boy. And no pun intended on the playing with fire thing, because I think there are fire barges next to it, too.
Exactly. And the whole, as you know, there's a torch that comes up in the middle of it, too. So, wow, literally playing with fire. I didn't think about that. Good catch, Aaron. Wow. I'm glad that my mother-in-law's oxygen tank wasn't anywhere too close. Oh, and by the way, while we were stuck at the top of Spaceship Earth, as you can well imagine, her oxygen tank ran out. So she's been sitting here.
So you're just short of being like, you know, an episode of Scorpion, where the geniuses have to figure out a way to, you know, drop the rope from the top of the geodesic dome of Spaceship Earth to rescue the woman who's running out of oxygen stuck at the top.
Yeah, she's out. She can't breathe. We're just going to have to lower her, you know, down the side of the geodesic dome. Oh my gosh, can it get any more fun? Oh yes, it can get more fun, but we'll get into that later.
Oh man. Yeah, that to me, you know, definitely ranks among the top ride breakdown sequence stories that we've had. And I think it qualifies as strange but true, especially now that we've established that Earth connection.
Yes, the Earth connection. And one thing that you have to know is, as frustrating as all that can be and as mad as people can get, the nicer you are to the cast members, the nicer they are to you. So always remember that. Take the lesson, because we were family of the day in Epcot. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but yeah, we wound up being family of the day.
Okay. So Chris or James, either you have something you want to jump in with?
I could say, even ride breakdown, it didn't necessarily break down, but the Indiana Jones, ride in Disneyland. It was funny that from the first time I rode it, my wife had heard stories that the trucks are getting stuck right in front of the rolling ball.
Oh, okay. Coming down.
And the first time that I rode it, and it was a single rider at the time, and my son wasn't tall enough yet. And I get to that part, and sure enough, the ride had stopped, and everything had shut down right at the part of the rolling ball coming down, and we ended up having to ride the rest of the ride without any of the animatronics going on. So, sure, go figure, you know.
Right.
You talk about beforehand, and then it happens.
Yeah, you jinxed yourself.
Exactly.
All right, yeah, that I think qualifies as strange but true, just from the jinx perspective alone.
Mm-hmm. From then on, I think every time we've been fortunate that the ride has operated as it should. Haven't gotten stuck since. So,
all right. Well, that's good. You've shaken yourself of that one. I'm not sure Tim has been so successful.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Void the Earth.
Yes, Earth bad.
So, are we tapped out, James? You got another one for us?
Oh, yeah. So I haven't been as lucky as some of you guys with the ride breakdowns, although I did have the privilege of walking through some rides on a graveyard shift when I was doing the college program, and getting to walk through Splash Mountain when they've drained it of water and go all the way to the top and stand outside the drop is pretty cool. And I would earlier we were talking about the cell phone incident with Tim's wife. I had a cell phone incident where I lost my phone because my son had gotten sick at Hollywood Studios in Starbucks. And in the commotion of trying to clean up the mess and get everything done, and cast members coming over to help out, I put my phone down. And then when we got outside and we're getting our act back together, my phone was gone. And so I was thinking, like, I went back inside trying to find it. I went, you know, like I had like this reenactment of all the events, and my fear was that somehow in the commotion, because I put my phone down, it must have got scooped up with the trash and all the paper towels we were using to clean up the mess and thrown away and thrown in the garbage. And so I asked like the manager and some of the cast members, and they were just like, no, that's, you know, like we didn't see it, nothing we could do. I'd go to guest services multiple times. Just trying to find out, you know, and then they weren't didn't fill out forms anymore. They just kept saying to check back, and I'm getting frustrated, and because this is my phone, and you know, that's like, you know, it's like losing one of my kids. And we go through this whole thing, and finally we're like, you know what, we're just gonna have to make the best of the day after that. You know, he's sick, we gotta move on. We start heading down into the park, and he's gotta go to the bathroom. So I'm like, you know what, let me take him to the bathroom. And I parked the stroller outside the bathroom. I pick him up, and there's my phone. He was sitting on it the entire time.
Okay, that qualifies as strange but true. Now, the fact that he was sitting on it the whole time makes it a bit ironic, but definitely strange but true, because clearly, I have to guess, you've pretty much given up on it already, and there it was right in front of you.
Yeah, one place I never looked was underneath my son, because he was sick and just sitting in the stroller the whole time, and I couldn't fathom how my phone would have gotten underneath him. It's never really left the stroller.
Right.
So it was just, he must have just been leaning forward. I must have had it in my hand and been like patting him on the back or something, and maybe it just slipped down and slid behind him, and he was just sitting on it the whole time. And of course, he doesn't tell me this.
No, of course not.
Daddy, I got your phone right here. Now,
yeah, Dad's frantically looking for his phone, and I can.
And I'm driving cast members crazy, and I'm in guest services, and I'm like, telling them that I know more than, you know, better than they know that this thing must be in the trash, and I need to get it. But no, it's under my son's butt.
All right,
you didn't go dumpster diving. Come on.
That would have been fun. That would have been a story. If they had gone through the trash in the restaurant first.
If I would have been willing to do that. They looked. They just kind of like opened it up and looked inside, and they were like, right. No. And then when things really got messy and more cast members showed up, they were using a separate bag.
Oh, okay.
So all the stuff went into a separate bag that they just hauled like backstage immediately. So it's, right. You know, so as not to have the smell or anything just sitting there in the trash can inside the restaurant.
Well, you know, strange but true stuff doesn't happen only on the Disney side of things. Strange but true stuff happens, you know, in theme parks all around. And Chris has a universal strange but true for us.
Yeah, it was actually many years ago. It was when I was with my parents. I got to experience the rider swap. With my brother and sister were too young to ride. We're riding King Kong. I don't know if you remember that.
Sure, the original version of King Kong.
Yes, and I don't know why they ever got rid of it, because that ride was amazing. Seeing a 20-foot tall King Kong animatronic was definitely a sight. So I did get to ride the ride with my mother first, and then did the rider swap and got on with my father. And as soon as the ride was taking off, the group in front of us started screaming and shouting at the crew members there. And we were kind of in shock. We didn't know what was going on. And they were shouting and pointing. And I believe the older gentleman in their group was having a heart attack. And they immediately, emergency stopped the entire ride. And they had to get them off and call in the paramedics. In the meantime, they didn't want to shut the ride down completely. So they ended up sending us through the entire ride with everything shut down. So I got to ride it to see everything going, and then everything shut down and emergency lights on and nothing moving, nothing going on. So it's definitely interesting to see it in a different light.
Yeah, and definitely strange, right? Because you've just experienced the attraction as it's supposed to be, and then you immediately get the second look with sort of the whole attraction idling in neutral.
Yep. And of course, the unfortunate situation that occurred right in front of us.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So.
All right. So we've covered kind of a range of strange but true types of situations. And we've gotten several stories from each person. I'm guessing we're probably starting to kind of tap the well here. So and anybody have maybe one last story that they want to make sure that we cover here as we talk about strange but true, Disney vacation experiences?
Oh, I'm the king of misfortune. It's just a matter of making the best of the situation. No, I think, and this, I don't know if you really categorize it as strange but true, but definitely a case of misfortune. This trip 2 years ago, I mean, everything that could possibly happen happened. We had people not able to get in the park. We had people whose magic bands were messed up. We had, the ride breakdowns. But the coup de grace, I think, for us was just that this was a graduation celebration trip for my oldest kiddo, who wasn't even expected to live, much less graduate high school. So it was a huge deal.
Sure.
And the one thing that we wanted to do as a family, as a group, and when I say family, I mean our immediate family plus my wife's sister and brother-in-law, her mom and dad, my son's girlfriend, all of her family. It was a huge trip, like 14, I think it was 14 of us, if I remember correctly, that wanted to, my wife, the one thing that she wanted to do is get around at Epcot and watch Illuminations together, because the final song in the whole Illumination show is it kind of wraps up, how we felt about his graduation. Well, so we decided, we would have dinner at the French restaurant there. And we booked it, pretty early, 7 o'clock, so that we would be done in time for the 9 o'clock fireworks. And we showed up, and they had split us into two groups, one that was reserved at 7 o'clock, one that was reserved at 7:45 for some weird reason and didn't tell us. But then the one that was booked for 7 o'clock didn't get seated until at least 7:45. And the second group, which I was in, didn't get seated until after that. Yikes. So by the time we finally were seated and had ordered, they were starting the countdown to the fireworks show, and they came out and plopped her dinner down in front of us right as the fireworks were about to start. So 2 hours later. Wow. And we were just totally distraught. My wife's all upset about everything. We've sent everybody else, out away from the table just to go around the lagoon to watch the fireworks show while we held down the tables. And that kind of, seemed like it was a disaster. But at the same time, you know, the wait staff and the manager were making it up to us. And then when we got back to the hotel, the concierge kind of noticed that we were a little bit on the glum side. And, you know, she asked us what was wrong. And we told her, well, you know, we were here for this, you know, the special occasion. And the one thing that we wanted to do together, we couldn't do because of the whole, you know, mess up at the French restaurant. And, you know, we didn't buy park hoppers. So we weren't, you know, we weren't planning to go back to Epcot to be able to re-experience that.
Right, this was your one chance.
Exactly. And that cast member made some magic happen and basically got somebody in charge to put one-day park hoppers on all 14 of our magic bands so that we could go back and experience Illuminations together. So, like I said, it was a misfortune. It was an unfortunate scenario, but, you know, strange but true when, you know, like I said, if you are just nice about the situation, all of a sudden, you know, a cast member made some magic happen for us. And to me, that's a strange but true in regards to the fact that, you know, we didn't, you know, we expected the worst and we don't expect anybody to bend over backwards, you know, to do things for us. And the fact that they made that, you know, that wish of ours come true, I thought that was just awesome.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
That's
and
cool.
I think that's a great way to, you know, wrap up a podcast that it hasn't always been about, you know, the best things happening. Sometimes weird stuff happens. And I think, you know, all of us on the panel tonight have talked about how you just kind of roll with it. And that is a great conclusion, really, to how, you know, you can't expect it to happen. You can't make it happen. But sometimes that strange stuff happens, and the truth is that, you know, a cast member finds a way to make some magic, and situation, in truth, really works out in the end. So, you know, you've heard some of our strange but true stories. I really would like to hear your strange but true stories, because I'm not sure that ours were truly strange enough, right? I'm sure there are stranger stories out there than we came up with. So send them to us. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and come visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with James Cameron.
Until next time, everybody.
Chris Papcheck.
Thanks for having me.
And Tim Hicks.
Thanks for joining us. See you real soon.
Podcast story. I have this guy who's been on the show like a dozen times and he knows how all the show works. As a matter of fact, he's a professional in the broadcast field.
Yeah, so I should know, you know, that there's also a mute button on my on the cord of my headset, and that I must have inadvertently hit that. And I was wondering why nobody laughed when I said, I wonder what Tim did to the earth to make it so mad at him.
I lived here. That's good enough.